You just read the text in your hearing a few minutes ago. Verse 13 through 22. Let's pray before we open up the Word of God. Our Father, we thank you that we could be together on a Sunday evening in your house worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have this glorious privilege to honor you through the worship of your name. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would be sent to us, that he would help us as the Word of God is ministered to each one of us. We pray that you would give us the grace of the Holy Spirit to listen to the Word of God faithfully, to receive it into our hearts, and to put into practice in our daily lives. We pray that you will minister to each one of us tonight. We pray that you will bring others out to hear the Word of God, to worship your holy name. We ask you that wherever the name of Jesus Christ is faithfully preached here in the New York City metropolitan area, we ask you that your blessing will remain upon that ministry, that church, and that preaching. We ask all of these mercies with thanksgiving, also remembering for Michael Carr as he preaches in Manhattan Fellowship tonight on West 57th Street, that you bless his preaching, that you use it to strengthen the believers there who gather together to worship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the intolerance of Jesus Christ. The intolerance of Jesus Christ. The World Book Dictionary defines tolerance this way: a willingness to be patient toward people whose opinions or ways differ from one's own. The same dictionary takes the adjective tolerant and describes it this way: willing to let other people do as they think best, willing to endure beliefs and actions of which one does not approve. You cannot hear the news today without the word tolerance being thrown out left and right. Anchormen on major television stations, they'll talk about the intolerance of certain people or the tolerance of certain people. Religious leaders of today who march in the streets of New York City talk about intolerance, or they talk about tolerance. On the major CNN, if you have cable, you will find that CNN, you'll have commentators talking about he or she is intolerant. That person is intolerant. So this concept of tolerance and intolerance is much upon the lips of modern day man. Well, I want to speak to you tonight on the intolerance of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in some ways, could be called the most tolerant one, and yet, at the same time, the most intolerant person ever to exist. The intolerance of Jesus, first of all, is seen by the very fact that in the passage that Pastor Kroger read a few minutes ago, some of you were not here for that reading, but the Lord Jesus goes into the temple. I think it'd be better for us to read it again. Verse 13 of John chapter 2. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tablets. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." And then we won't read the rest of the passage. The Lord Jesus goes into the temple. It's around the Passover time. Jesus sees things going on that are tremendously displeasing to him. He sees that the temple has been turned into a house of merchandise, buying and selling, and on top of everything else, there was cheating going up and down, left and right. People were being charged tremendous, ridiculous prices, whereby they would offer up sacrifices. Now remember, Three times a year, Jews from all over the world had to come to Jerusalem. One of them was the Feast of Passover. They had to come to Jerusalem. And many times, obviously, they couldn't carry their own livestock, their own animal sacrifices, so they would buy the sacrifices there in the vicinity of the temple. And what would be happening is with these, quote, money changers, they would be cheating the Jews, the devout Jews that want to worship God by means of the sacrifice in the temple. And so the Lord Jesus walks in the midst of the temple, sees all of this cheating, all of this merchandising, all of this madness and confusion, and he gets a whip. And he begins to drive them out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen. He pours the changers' money, overturns the table. You would have thought Jesus Christ was an absolute madman. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And verse 17 says, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. In other words, Jesus goes into the temple, sees that God is not being worshipped correctly, and is quite intolerant of their lack of proper worship of God. Jesus is intolerant of the Jews. He doesn't put up with them. He doesn't excuse them. He doesn't rationalize it. He turns tables over. He throws everybody out. Jesus was extremely intolerant in the area when people do not worship God in the right way. Is this not an intolerant Jesus Christ? Surely he was not intolerant. He was not patient with them. He was not saying, well, you've got your beliefs and I've got mine. No, Jesus got a whip and got everybody out of the temple. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. In the parallel passage of Mark 11 and other passages, I believe Matthew 21, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And you have turned it into a den of thieves. You see? The house of God was the temple in the Old Testament. And here on the pages of the New Testament, the temple is still standing. The temple is still supposed to represent the special presence of God. The temple is supposed to be holy. Within the temple, you have the Holy of Holies. All right? Now, even though the Ark of the Covenant was never refound, it was never recaptured after the Babylonian captivity in 586 B.C., but the temple still represented, quote, the house of God, the special presence of God, where the worship of God was to take place. Jesus goes into the house of God, the temple, sees people not worshiping God accurately, lying, cheating, stealing, all kinds of things, and what is he? He becomes extremely intolerant of their sinful, wrong, hypocritical worship. Jesus was intolerant of people who did not worship God properly. Turn over to John chapter 4. I want you to see something else along this aspect of the intolerance of Jesus Christ. Notice how in John chapter 4, and verse 22, we read these words. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, in this passage, Jesus is talking to a woman of Samaria. Now, I cannot read all the passages in your hearing. I'll read the text and give you the background. Jesus is talking to a woman of Samaria. And this woman, Jesus asks her for a cup of water. You see, he does that in verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And then in this whole interplay, Jesus begins to talk about living water, and the woman wants this water. And Jesus begins to deal with this woman and says to her in verse 15, verse 16, go call your husband. And she says in verse 17, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you have well said. Verse 18, you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And this woman of Samaria then begins to talk to Jesus about worship. I perceive, the woman said to Jesus, verse 19, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Let me tell you something about the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were not pure Jews. They had mixed in marriages and lost their pure Jewish pedigree blood. So the Samaritans were not true Jews. Okay? The Samaritans only believed part of the Old Testament. They believed the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Okay? And the point of the Samaritans was they worshipped God improperly. They thought that God was to be worshipped on a particular mountain up in the northern kingdom, where Jesus said no. You know, it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship, and that's true. The Jews down in south, in Judea, worshipped and went to the temple where the temple was supposed to be, in Jerusalem. And what happened was the Samaritans, because they were up in north, they made up their own religion. They had a little Jewish religion, a little religion of the Gentiles, and they had a mishmash. A little bit of everything, but it was not the true religion of the Jews. And what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus is talking to a woman who did not have, quote, the full-blooded, true, 100% Jewish religion. And notice what Jesus says to this woman in the whole realm of worshiping God. He says to her in verse 22, you worship what you do not know. You don't know what you're worshiping. You are ignorant. That's what he's telling her. You are ignorant in your worship. You don't know what you're worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What Jesus is telling the Samaritan woman is that the Jews, even though we spoke this morning, the Jews had a lot of things wrong with them, much of it was hypocrisy, but in reference to the place of worship, Jerusalem was the place. In reference to the Old Testament, they accepted the whole Old Testament. They accepted Genesis to Malachi, all right? But the Samaritans only accepted part of the Old Testament worship. They had lost their pure Jewish blood, and they kind of wanted to worship God up in the north, when God says, no, you got to worship him down in Jerusalem. That's the temple. And what I'm trying to tell you by this simple passage is this. Jesus tells this woman, may I say, Jesus is intolerant with this woman. He doesn't tolerate her mixed religion. He says to her, your religion is wrong. Our religion, and Jesus is talking as a Jew now, is the right religion. That's right. We worship God in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the place that God says the temple was supposed to be built. You, Samaritan, you're mixed blood, you don't know what you're worshiping. You see what Jesus is doing? He's being quite intolerant of someone else's religious belief, if that religious belief was not accurate. That's the point I want you to see in the passage. Just like in the temple, Jesus sees the hypocrisy, the wrongness, the sinfulness of, quote, the worship of the people, and is quite intolerant and throws the table upside down. I want you to see the intolerance of Jesus, number one, in reference to people worshiping God in the wrong way. Secondly, when it comes to interpreting the Bible, who interprets the Bible accurately? When Jesus sees people not interpreting the Bible accurately, you know what he gets? He gets intolerant of them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I want you to see how Jesus Christ was quite intolerant of people who did not interpret the Bible accurately. And by that he was saying, my interpretation is the correct one. See? That's what he's telling them. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Drop back to verse 23. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, have no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and third even to the seventh. The last of the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken and do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. What an intolerant attitude on the part of Jesus Christ. Doesn't he know that everyone can interpret the Bible? It's just a matter of interpretation? Absolutely not. Jesus says, you don't understand the Bible. You don't interpret the Bible correctly. And then he goes on to say, don't you know that on the day of judgment in heaven and the kingdom of God, people, there's no marriage in heaven. The Sadducees, they were worried about who was going to get the woman, which one of the husbands. He says, you're terribly mistaken. You're wrong. You're misinterpreting the Bible. My interpretation is the right one. Why? Because I, by the grace of God, I compare Scripture with Scripture, and I come to the right interpretation of what the Bible says. But I want you to see in this statement the intolerance of Jesus Christ. You are greatly mistaken. You don't understand the Scriptures nor the power of God. You see that? The intolerance of Jesus is manifested in the fact that when he saw people worshiping God wrongly and incorrectly and hypocritically and not according to Scripture, he rebuked them and told them so. He says, you don't worship God correctly. Now in this situation, when it's a matter of interpreting the Scriptures, what is the issue here? The issue is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What does he do? He tells the Sadducees. He tells them that they do not interpret the Scriptures correctly. They don't understand what the Bible teaches. Jesus was very, very intolerant of people who did not interpret the Bible accurately. In other words, Jesus is quite intolerant of people who say, well, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are make-believe. There was really no Garden of Eden. There was really no tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was no real Adam and Eve. And they ate the fruit and they disobeyed God. There was no real serpent who came there in the garden. And the devil took hold of the serpent and told Eve, you got to eat the fruit. Go ahead, don't worry about what God thinks. That's all make-believe. That's all fairy tales. Jesus says, no, that's history. That's fact. There was a real garden, there was a real devil, there was a real Adam, there was a real Eve. They really sinned against God, they broke the commandment of God. That is real. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are real, they're true, it's history. And so Jesus goes on to talk about Noah in the universal flood. Now come on, Jesus, you're not going to tell us that one day back in the history of the world, there was this man called Noah, and God came to Noah and said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the whole world. I want you to build a big ark. You and your family, I'm going to save, and I'm going to save two kind of every animals in the whole world I'm going to destroy. Now, come on, Jesus, you can't be really serious that your interpretation of the Old Testament is the accurate one. Come on, Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, that's the right interpretation. And you are greatly mistaken. Your interpretation that says that's a bunch of make-believe stories, that's like Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck fairy tales. No way, Jose. The Lord Jesus said that's history. That really happened. My interpretation of Scripture is the right one and yours is the wrong one. Well, what do we see here? Jesus was quite intolerant of people mishandling the Bible, misinterpreting the Bible. He would not put up with their interpretation if their interpretation was wrong. And he was not afraid to tell people so right to their faces. Jesus Christ was intolerant of people who worshiped God incorrectly. Jesus Christ was intolerant of people who mishandle, twist, and misunderstand and misinterpret the teachings of the Bible. Thirdly, Jesus Christ was intolerant of religious leaders who taught false doctrine and led people astray from the true knowledge of God. Now, this morning we dealt with this passage, but I want you to look at one text. Go back to Matthew 23. Jesus Christ was extremely intolerant of religious leaders in his day who misled people by not teaching the true knowledge of God. The true knowledge of God. You read Matthew 23 on your own, and you will find, as we saw this morning, that Jesus Christ explodes against the religious leaders of his day. He was extremely intolerant. He was not patient at all in the sense of putting up with error. When men's souls were at stake, when the salvation of souls, either we're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell, Jesus let them have it, if you will. He was not afraid to be confrontational. He was not be afraid of being intolerant. And he said to these religious leaders who are called the Pharisees in verse 13, these words, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of God against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." See what Jesus is saying? Because of your wrong understanding of what it means to be a true Jew, of what it means to be right with God, of what it means to be saved and have your sins forgiven, because of your wrong understanding, because as we said this morning, because your idea of religion is external. Your idea of religion is on the outside. Your idea of religion is a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts. And that's wrong, Jesus said, as we discussed this morning. Because of your wrong understanding of how to get to heaven, and you reject me. Jesus had told the Pharisees many times, they rejected him. "I'm the only way you're going to get to heaven." And they rejected him. "No, you're not the way to go to heaven. You're not the Messiah. We're still looking for the Messiah." Jesus said, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the only way to get to heaven." The Pharisees rejected. And the point is, because they had a wrong understanding of the true knowledge of God, you know what they did? They taught other people, and they made other people believe their lies, and other people were going to hell with them. Why? Because they were teaching false doctrine. They were actually keeping other key people from going to heaven, from entering the kingdom of God. "You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you need to go in yourselves. You're not going to heaven, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." So what Jesus is intolerant here with false teachers who preach false doctrine and lead innocent, you understand how I mean that, innocent-minded people astray. Believe what I tell you. They believe what the, quote, preacher says. They believe what the priest says. They believe what the rabbi says. They believe by the liberal Protestant preacher says. But if what the rabbi, the priest, the Pharisees, the scribe is not accurate, Jesus was quite intolerant. You say, why? Because what they're teaching is wrong. People believe the lies. They'll go to hell with the preacher, with the priest, with the Pharisees, and with the rabbi. Jesus was not tolerant of them. He was quite intolerant. And in this chapter, he comes down extremely hard upon those who led people astray, away from the true knowledge of God, away from the true knowledge of salvation through Messiah Jesus Christ, through a different way of salvation, a way that would not get them to heaven, but a way that would wind them up down into hell. And Jesus does not pull punches. He rebukes them. He tells them, "This is a shameful thing, what you are doing. You keep yourselves, because of your false understanding of what it means to be right with God, you keep yourselves from getting into the kingdom. But you keep others too." So Jesus Christ is quite intolerant of any religious leader. I don't care how high he is up on the ladder of religiosity and authority and power. He is intolerant of any preacher, of any country, of any denomination that teaches
false theology, false doctrine, and leads people astray, away from God and towards the devil, away from heaven and towards hell, Jesus is intolerant of them. He rebukes them. He criticizes them. He exposes them. He deals with them. That's the Jesus of the Bible. The intolerant Son of God. Now, I want to go on to say something else. Jesus was not only intolerant of people who did not worship God correctly. Jesus was not only intolerant of people who did not understand the Bible correctly, misinterpreted. Jesus was not only intolerant of people, religious leaders, who taught false doctrine and led innocent-minded people astray because those people believed what they told them and thereby wandered away from God and went into hell. But Jesus, in addition to all this, was quite intolerant of people who disobeyed God. Jesus was not tolerant when he saw people breaking the Ten Commandments. Would you turn with me to John chapter 8 to illustrate this very point of how intolerant Jesus Christ was in reference to anyone breaking any of the Ten Commandments. Notice what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 11. And as we read it, you'll know it's a very familiar story. This is the story of the woman who was caught in adultery, right? The woman who was actually caught in the very act of adultery. And the Jews come, the Pharisees, Jesus, Rabbi. This woman was actually caught in the act of adultery. She should be stoned to death. What do you think about this, Jesus? And Jesus bends down. Whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then one by one, their conscience convicts them and they leave. You read that. And then Jesus said, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said, "Woman, where are those who are accusing you? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." And by this statement, Jesus is forgiving her of her sins. But notice what Jesus goes on to say. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Stop your life of prostitution. Stop giving your body to anyone else but your husband in holy matrimony. Jesus is telling this woman, you've been breaking the commandment which says, thou shalt not commit adultery, the seventh commandment. You're breaking it. You're violating it. And I am intolerant. I've forgiven you, but I'm intolerant of you living that kind of a lifestyle. So therefore, go and sin no more. Jesus, and time fails us, in John chapter 8, was quite intolerant of people whose whole idea of religion was all mixed up. In John chapter 8, you read it. Their idea of getting to God, their idea of being right with God, their idea of religion towards God and right relationship with God was all messed up. And so Jesus goes on to rebuke sinfully proud religious people who had no concept of the true knowledge of God. But finally, under this heading, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 6 to show you this final point under this heading, that Jesus was quite intolerant of anyone who would try to get to God without going through himself, Jesus Christ. Notice what John 14, 6 says. I am the way, John 14, 6, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. You know what Jesus Christ is saying in this statement? He is saying to all of humanity, there is no creature on God's good earth that can ever get to God and find peace with God, find the forgiveness of God, and thereby go to heaven, unless you go to him through me. The intolerance of Jesus. Jesus is saying, with all the religions of the world, every single religion, I don't care from this one to that one, if you don't try to get to God through me, you're never going to get there. And Jesus is quite intolerant. He's not patient. He does not believe the phrase, all roads lead to Rome. Jesus does not believe, well, you take this road, I'll take that road, but we all wind up in heaven. No way, Jose. Jesus never thought that. Jesus taught in this text, clearly, you want to get to God? You got to get to him through me. And if you don't get to him through me, you're never going to get there. You realize what this text is saying? Jesus is intolerant of every religion on the face of the earth that he has created. If that religion teaches that you can get to God any other way than through Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. He's intolerant of it. He won't put up with it. He doesn't excuse it. He doesn't say, well, that's your way to get to God and this is my way. None of that nonsense comes into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is intolerant of anyone who tries to get to God in any other way than Jesus Christ himself. Now, I go on in the next part of the message to say this. According to the Bible, Christians are commanded by Jesus to follow his example of intolerance. Would you turn to John chapter 13 and verse 15? John chapter 13 and verse 15. We read these words. John 13, 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. The key word, I have given you an example. I have left you an example. I want you to imitate me. Now in this particular context, the imitation that we are to imitate in reference to Christ is to wash each other's feet. Not literally, not physically, but in the sense of when you wash someone's feet, you are serving them. You're humbling yourself towards them. You want to minister to them. And you study this passage. Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples an example that Christians ought to wash, spiritually speaking, each other's feet. They ought to serve each other. They ought to be concerned about each other, meeting each other's needs, helping each other. And Jesus is saying, look at me, the master. I have gotten down on my hands and knees, and I've gotten there and I washed your feet, and then I clean them with a towel. If I, Jesus Christ, your master, did this, how much more should you do this to one another? And in this situation of washing each other's feet, Jesus has set the example. He says, I have left you an example. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that Christ is our example. 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our example. We are to imitate him in every area of life. But I'm going to give some qualifications here in a minute, especially in the area of intolerance. We are to be as intolerant as Jesus Christ was. Now, first of all, let me say this, and this is important. What I'm saying is crucial. I don't want to be misunderstood. Christians are not, did you hear what I said? Christians are not allowed to imitate Christ. In this sense, Jesus can go into a temple, turn the tables upside down, drive out the animals, get a whip, get rid of everybody. We are not allowed to go into temples, synagogues, Roman Catholic churches, whatever, liberal Protestant churches, mosques, Unitarians, Quakers, any false religion that does not teach the word of the living God. We are not allowed to go there and destroy their property, knock off the statues as they're doing in Brooklyn, defame the statues of different religious institutions. We have no right to do that. None whatsoever. A Christian never has any right to destroy one little thing of any other religious property. Never has that right. Jesus had that right, and he did it. And he did it because he's the Son of God, because that was his house, that was his temple, and as the Son of God and as Messiah, he had the right to come to his temple and purify it, as it says in Malachi chapter 3. In that area, you and I do not have any right to imitate Jesus. That was the exclusive right of Jesus Christ himself. So you and I have no right to go around burning churches. You and I have no right to go around destroying churches, even if they're preaching false doctrine. Never, ever, under any circumstances, do we have any right to hurt, to destroy, to turn upside down any church, any pastor, under any circumstances, who do not preach the Word of God. We don't have that right. We have no right to hurt anyone who does not receive the message of Christ. We have no right to do that, according to Luke chapter 9. I don't have the time to go into it. 51 to 1, well, I'm going to ask you to turn it, that's important. Luke 9, 51. I want you to see something there. Luke 9, 51 through 56. I think it's an interesting passage of two of the disciples got really carried away. Look what it says in verse 51 through 56, according to Luke chapter 9. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face. As they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. They did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Now here's the situation. Jesus sends people ahead to prepare. But the people of the village of Samaritans, they don't want to receive Jesus Christ. They want to reject the Messiah. They don't welcome Jesus Christ. They're not receiving the message of Christ. They don't want nothing to do with Christ. What is the attitude of two of the disciples? Notice what it is. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You see what James and John wanted to do? God, we want the fire of heaven to come down and destroy and consume them. Jesus says, that's wrong. You have no right to do that. He rebukes them. You and I have no right to wish and pray that God would destroy individual people because they don't worship the true God. There's a sense, the Old Testament, when it talks about the enemies of God, there's a sense in which there's a way that it could be in some way dealt with. We're not, that's not our purpose. But Jesus here is dealing to his disciples who thought, we're going to be like Jesus. Now Jesus has the right to command fire to come from heaven, and he did do that many times. He destroyed people. In Acts chapter 5, two people lie to the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends fire from heaven and kills them. In Acts chapter 12, a king got extremely proud before God. God sends worms and kills them on the spot. God has the right to do that, but Christians don't. See, so what I want you to understand is whatever it means to be intolerant in imitation of our Savior, it does not mean, it never means that Christians, true Christians, have a right to destroy, to hurt other, quote, religious institutions, their property. All right? Never. We should never pray, oh God, burn their building and kill everybody inside the building. Never, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's never right under any circumstances. All right? As a matter of fact, Christians must allow, according to the Word of God, and according to our Constitution, religious freedom. But even more than the Constitution, the Word of God. The Word of God tells us, you got to let people worship their God according to their own mind. And you can't go in there and burn their building. I want you to turn with me to a passage that proves this very point. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38 and 39, Jesus gives us an illustration of how there ought to be religious tolerance in the sense of freedom of religion. Notice what it says in Mark chapter 9. Verse 38 and verse 39. Mark 9, verse 38. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us." They don't follow us, the 12 disciples who follow you all over the place. They're not part of our group. They're casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side." Now there's many principles here in this text. I want you to see this one principle. John sees certain, quote, group of people. Right? They're going around casting out demons. But they're not part of the group of disciples that are following Jesus. Wherever Jesus went. He went up to Galilee. Went by Samaria. Went down to Jerusalem. The disciples would go with Jesus. They would travel. They're not part of us. They don't travel with us. They're not part of our religious affiliation. They're not part of our denomination. They're not part of our religious group. They're not part of us. Lord Jesus, we told them to stop. You can't do that. Jesus says, "No, you got to let them go. Let them do it. Leave them alone." See? And the point of this passage is that Christians must allow, must tolerate people who are not part of their religious affiliation, in this situation, the true Christian religion. We must tolerate, we must allow, according to the Word of God, we have no right to destroy, we have no right to hurt, we must allow freedom of religion, according to the Word of God, and as obedient citizens of the Constitution of the United States, allow freedom of religion, because that's what the Bible says, and that's what Jesus tells us to do. And on top of it all, we must be obedient citizens of the land. We must obey the Constitution. Everyone has the right to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. So we cannot be intolerant of people who do not worship God as we do. In the sense, if that's what they want to do, you can't go in there and stop them. Hurt them. See, that's the point. That's the point. Finally, Christians must be willing to tolerate and obey all the laws of the state or country in which they find themselves. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 12. I want you to see another passage here as we begin to bring our message to a conclusion. Mark chapter 12, notice what it says, 13 through 17. Mark 12, 13 through 17. Mark 12, 13. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Should we pay our taxes to the emperor there in Rome who charges us taxes? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing the hypocrisy, said, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." They brought him, and he said, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then Jesus answered and said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." You know what Jesus' teaching here is? Every Christian has the responsibility to pay taxes and to be submissive to the government of the United States or any other government under which they find themselves. To pay the taxes, to obey the laws of the land, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Caesar has certain rights. That's right. Caesar has rights. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. They charge you taxes, pay your taxes. They do ask you to do this, do it. But then you got to remember, you got to give to God the things that belong to God. And Jesus set a wonderful example in another situation. We have no time to turn it to it in Matthew 17 about the temple tax. And Jesus, "Do you set the example about paying taxes?" And Jesus said to Peter, "Go there in the water, get the first fish, open up the fish, and inside the fish, you got money, give it to them and pay the tax." And so what Jesus is teaching us here is that we as Christians must tolerate, must obey, must not disobey the government under which we find ourselves, under whose authority. All right? Unless that government demands and expects of us and tells us, you must not preach in the name of Jesus Christ. You must not preach out of the Bible. You must not preach that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Then you and I, in a respectful way, we are intolerant of the laws of the country under which we live. And we say, President so-and-so, Prime Minister so-and-so, Senator so-and-so, with all respect, I cannot obey your laws. For King Jesus told me, I'm to give to God what belongs to God, and preaching the gospel belongs to God. He's the one who told me to preach the gospel, and his laws are more important than your laws. So I cannot obey. But the point is this. Any law short of clear cut, black and white, disobedience to the word of God, Christians must obey all the laws of the land. And even if in your mind you say, yeah, but the taxes, all the taxes that I pay. You know what they do with those taxes in the United States? They fund abortion clinics. Yes, I know. God knows that. And we're not responsible for that. They're responsible for it, not us. Some Christians have used that reason as an excuse why not to pay their taxes to their government. But let me tell you, what kind of a Roman emperor was Caesar? You think he was a good emperor? The emperors of Rome were some of the wickedest men on the face of planet Earth. And yet, Jesus says, render to Caesar. Give to Caesar what belongs to him. Was Caesar going to use these tax money for good reason? No, he wasn't. Our responsibility is to obey the laws of the land. We're not responsible for what they do. They're going to be held accountable on the day of judgment is the point, all right? And so you and I cannot be, quote, intolerant. Rather, we must be tolerant and obey the laws of the land where we find ourselves. Unless those laws, clearly, black and white, clearly we can prove it from the Bible, they are asking us to disobey King Jesus. You see? That's the point. Now, I gave those negatives. It was very important for me to say that. Because you could leave this place, Pastor Gabe Grassi is encouraging rebellion against the Constitution of the United States. I will never, ever say that. I will say, if the Constitution, if the President, if the Senator, if the Mayor, whoever he be, asked you to clearly, black and white, without a shadow of a doubt, to disobey the King of the Universe, King Jesus, then you disobey. Because there's a higher authority and a higher power that is above the president and above the Supreme Court and above every senator and every congressman, then you disobey. But unless that's the issue, we must obey. We must tolerate and we must submit. So I've given all these negatives. We have no right to destroy. We have no right to go into churches, turn them upside down. We have no right to imitate Jesus in this area. However, now this is the point I want to get to. However, we do have the responsibility. We do have the right. We have the obligation to imitate our Savior in reference to rebuking, exposing all forms and methods of worship that are not according to the Bible. It is our divine obligation as Christians under our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he exposed false religions. He exposed false worship. You and I are to imitate him and go and do likewise. We have a right given to us by King Jesus, who left us an example, to expose, and by exposing I mean preaching, speaking from the Word of God and saying that religion is wrong. That way to get to God is wrong. Why? Because Jesus in the Bible says it's wrong. And I take the side of Jesus, but people will come and say, you are intolerant of other religious views. And you say, yes, I am. Why? I'm being like my Savior, Jesus Christ, who is intolerant of that kind of worship, of hypocritical worship, of worship that does not have the heart, of worship that picks, I like this commandment, I don't like that commandment. I like the first two commandments, I don't like the rest. I don't like the commandment which says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to have wives like I buy cars. I want to trade one in every year for a new model. Jesus does not tolerate that. No Christian should tolerate that. Ever, under any circumstance. Why? You want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't tolerate it. Don't you tolerate it. Be like your Savior. Jesus Christ does not tolerate anyone, any religious teacher, any prophet, any preacher, any rabbi, any pope, any cardinal, any Protestant preacher, any religious leader of a denomination, any leader in Pakistan, any leader in China, any leader in Africa, any religious leader of any group, Hindu, Buddhism, Confucianism, Muslim, anyone who teaches the wrong way to get to God. He doesn't tolerate it. You and I must do the same and must not tolerate. We must not tolerate false teachers who lead people astray. Believe this and you'll go to heaven. No, if they believe that, they'll go to hell, because that's not from the Bible. You remember what Jesus said? I want you to turn with me. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to see what Jesus says. He gives people warnings, beware. And you and I as Christians must imitate our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 through 12. I'm not going to read the whole passage, time is slipping us by. Then Jesus said to them, take heed, he's talking to the disciples, in verse 5. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, whatever Jesus is talking about, they think he's talking about bread. But look at verse 12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see what Jesus is saying? Beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Why? If you believe those doctrines, you will go to hell with them. Jesus left us an example here. Christian ministers of the gospel, and every Christian in particular, has a moral obligation to expose false preachers, false teachers of the gospel. Why? Because what they're preaching, if their listeners listen to it and believe it, they will believe a lie. And when they think they're going to go to heaven, they're actually going to wake up in hell. You and I are under divine obligation. Jesus says, beware. And Christian pastors in particular, my fellow elder, we have a divine moral obligation, even more than regular church members, to beware and warn people. Watch out for that preacher. And sometimes, according to the Bible, to name them by name. That preacher on the radio is not preaching the truth. And here's the reasons why. Don't listen to him. That's right. We have that moral obligation to do that. Christians are to imitate Christ in their intolerant spirit, like Jesus, by exposing and condemning any sinful habits, actions, and lifestyles that Jesus condemned. Jesus condemned homosexuality, we must do the same. Jesus condemned pornography, we must do the same. Jesus Christ condemned lesbianism, we should do the same. Jesus Christ condemned abortion, we must do the same. Jesus Christ condemned lying, we must do the same. Jesus Christ condemned getting a divorce without a biblical reason, a biblical motive, a biblical rationale, we must do the same. See, we must be like Jesus Christ. And we must be willing to take the consequences of whatever Jesus tells us to do by way of imitating him. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 7. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. The world cannot hate you. He's talking to his physical brothers. But it hates me. All right, Jesus, why does the world hate you? Because I testify to them that their works are evil. Jesus Christ told the world what was wrong with them. We as Christians have to be like Jesus, not in a hypocritical, proud, despising way, but a humble way. What you're doing is sinful. That lifestyle is wrong. It's sin against God. See? Jesus says to us, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you to do. You want to be the friend of Jesus? Do what he tells you to do. And as Christians, he condemns certain kinds of sins. You and I have to condemn it from the pulpit and in our individual words with our neighbors, our friends, our schoolmates. We must not be ashamed to condemn the things that Jesus condemned. Even if they say you are being intolerant. And if you and I go around doing what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless they come through me. And we go around preaching, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Your religion, do you get to God through Jesus? No. Well, you can't go to heaven. Your religion, are you trying to get through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, the new birth? Having your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting him alone? No. Well, then you're not going to go to heaven either. That's what Jesus said. Well, how dare you? I got my rights, I'm an American. Why are you so intolerant to me? What makes you right, your interpretation? What makes your way to go to heaven the right way? Why are you so intolerant? Why are you so narrow-minded? Why are you so bigoted? Why do you got blinders like a horse? Why? I'm as tolerant as Jesus is, and I'm as intolerant as Jesus is. You want to blame anybody? Blame my master. Your problem is with him, it's not with me. Your problem is with him, not with me. We must expose any false doctrine. And we must tell sinners, if you believe that that's the way you're going to go to heaven, that's not what the Bible teaches. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus preached on hell. Jesus said there's a heaven. Only those who put their faith in the Messiah Jesus, put their faith completely in him and say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. You died on the cross for sinners. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The only way I can get to God is putting my faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, his sacrifice at Calvary. What that means is simply any other way of getting to God is wrong. And we got to tell them. No matter what they say to us, you're intolerant, you're narrow-minded, you're bigoted, you are... What else are they going to call us? Their problem is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, as to be as tolerant as Christ was, religious freedom. You and I are to allow any religion to do what they want in their own confines of their property. But from our own pulpits, with the words of the gospel, we are to condemn. Not with hands. Not with destruction of physical property. With words. Not that we're trying to destroy them. We want to help them. We want them to find the right way to get to God. That's why we expose them. Not because Christians are on some kind of a kick of telling everybody they're wrong. No. We want to tell them from the Bible, Jesus says you're wrong. That's not the way you go to heaven. If you believe that, you won't go to heaven. You'll wake up in hell. And so you and I are to be as tolerant as Jesus Christ was. No more, no less. By way of 2 minutes of application, first of all, Christian, man, woman, boy, and girl. If you're a Christian and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I got a question for you. Do you tolerate sin in your life? Do you tolerate sin? Do you put up with it? Do you excuse it? Do you rationalize it? Do you whitewash it? Do you slip it under the cover? Do you blame shift? Do you do that? I hope you don't do that because Jesus does not tolerate sin in your life as a believer. Don't tolerate sin. But confess it. Ask the Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done as a Christian. But Jesus, give me the strength to give it up. Because Jesus never tolerates sin in the life of a believer. Never tolerates it. Never excuses it. Never washes it. So therefore, you and I must never tolerate sin in our lives. Because Jesus does not tolerate it. We as Christians must be tolerant of all religious perspectives, religious freedom. But we must very, very quickly not allow the government of the United States to silence us with the freedom that God Almighty gave to us. It's more than a freedom. It's a commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You're telling me I can't preach. You read it in Acts chapter 4. Peter, James, and John. I think it was Peter and John. They were preaching the gospel. They were arrested. They let go. What do you think they do? They keep preaching. Why? Because you have no right to tell me not to preach. I got to obey God rather than you. So therefore, you and I must be those kinds of Christians. We must not be the kind of people that are silenced by any group that will tell us that we cannot preach or teach the Word of God. And you and I must not, and I'm here to say this, there's a lot of religious leaders today in the New York City area. Intolerant. How dare you say what you're saying? We'll tell them, how dare we? The Lord Jesus said it. Your problem is with Him, not with us. You know what? Christians, it's been said, I believe to this degree, that the reason why the world is as bad as it is, from one possible reason, Christians tolerate too much. Christians need to go on the spiritual offensive. Not guns, not fighting, not destruction, but with the weapons of our Bible and with biblical preaching, we need to bring, by the grace of God, the message of Christ and say, Jesus Christ is not tolerating this or that, and we're not going to tolerate it. And that does not necessarily mean, it doesn't really mean this, that we march on Washington. What it means is from the pulpits of our country, from the pulpits of our churches, we start to preach and expose and deal with sin and tell sinners as they come into the congregation, Jesus does not tolerate your life if you're going to live in sin. But let me just finish on this note. If you've come here this evening, and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ does not tolerate your sin. He does not excuse your sin. He does not rationalize your sin. He does not in any way say, it's okay to sin. When you die, it's okay. On the day of judgment, God will understand. You're a teenager. God knows what it's like to be a teenager. You want to disobey your parents? It's all right. Jesus is never going to say that to you, teenager. You're an older lady, a senior citizen. On the day of judgment, you're not Christian, you're not saved. But, oh Lord, I was so...